All right. Well, it's good to be here again today, standing in the pulpit for Pastor. If you grab your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll start reading there in verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All right. We'll start reading there, Deuteronomy 8, 1. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. My Lord, we do thank you so much for loving us, for being so good and kind to us. We thank you for being our God, our King. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being the Word. I pray that you bless us today. Help us to love you with all of our heart. Help us to draw closer to you. Lord, help us to cast all the cares of this world aside, that we could see the cross, that we could, through your Word, get closer to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So today we're going to talk about God's Word. God's Word. Now, God's Word, it's a unique thing that is set aside from any other collection of words that you could have. And then we get into the English, and it's pretty unique by itself too. But today we're going to talk about it, and it says in that last verse there, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doeth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doeth man live. So there's, in reading through the Bible several times, there's several verses that have just stood out to me. And they're kind of what I would call foundational verses for me. I have my life verse. I have verses I go to in times of need. But for a foundational verse in my life, this has kind of been it. Verse 3. And you know, Jesus, he even quoted this verse several times in the New Testament. And today I want to talk to you about God's prepared word for you. You know, God, in his word, there's a lot that went into getting the word to us, right? The English-speaking people. But you know what? God didn't just give the word collectively to everyone. He went beyond that and he gave his word specifically to you. And today I want to kind of go, you could maybe say a little bit of a Bible study today, and just, I want to talk about God's word to the individual, to the end user. In life, there are different resources you have to go to. As a mechanic, you have books that you turn to, and they are written for vehicles, but they're not written for the end user, right? When you go to school, there are books you refer to as a doctor that you refer to, and they were not necessarily written for the end user, the individual that's going to use them. They're just a guide, and you can deviate from that. But you know what? The Word of God was written in a way for the individual. And that individual can develop a relationship with the Word, a specific relationship with the Word that is different than somebody else. It's the same Word, but yet it's specific for the individual. What an unusual book that God has given us. And today I want to go a little bit into that today on God's Word prepared for you. So let's look in Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. Psalms chapter 12, verse 6. We'll go there. So there are, when you start, there are so many different things you can study about in the Word, about the Word of God. Not even talking about doing like topical studies in the Word of God, but just in studying about what God's Word has gone through to get to where it is today. And there's volumes and volumes of books, many messages that have been preached on just what the Word of God has been through, just in the different thing, aspects of it. But we're going to look at a few of them today. In Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "The word of the Lord, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God's word is prepared to be preserved. God's word was prepared in a way that he preserved it. So we have today with us a guest, last name Stewart, right? I want to talk to you a little bit about a steward. Different spelling, though. Different spelling. But there was a man by the name of King James Charles Stewart. And so you might know him. If you open up the front of your Bible into the forward, you might see somewhere written in your Bible, King James, 1611, right? That's the Bible that we use. And it's a really interesting thing to look at some of the things that God did specifically to get the Word of God to us in English. And I want to talk a little bit about King James himself, right? So he was born June 19th, 1566. His mother was Queen of Scots in Scotland. She was the Queen of Scots. Her father died when he was 8 months old. Some differing stories where you hear about that, but it seemed like it was an assassination. So there was several things that happened in the life of King James that it's crazy. There's a whole lot of drama. There's a whole lot of stories there about just the things that went on there. So his father died. He was 8 months old. His mother was abducted from the throne by rebels and was put in jail. So at the age of one, King James was pronounced King of Scotland, 1 year old. Now, of course, being 1 year old, he could not rule as king. So there were people that stood in his place and that ruled as king. But could you imagine? No mother involved, no father involved, but there were some people over him. It would be an easy thing to get power hungry. So the men that were involved in King James' life, and even the one that were involved in running the throne, leading the throne, became power hungry. And so there was drama and drama. He, even as a young boy, evaded death, assassination attempts several times. Like literally fleeing the house as somebody was trying to kill him. He locked himself in rooms to avoid it. It's crazy some of the things that happened. Drama and drama built around this man, King James. He actually assumed the throne at the age of 13. So he literally started making decisions, assumed the throne, and he was literally a full-fledged king, age 13. He believed this before he assumed the throne. He believed that in the divine right of kings, which is kings' answer to God only, and not to the people. Now, I believe that kings should answer to the people also, but he felt that he was directly accountable to God himself, which is a pretty good thing for a king. He also carried through with that in his reign as king. So he reigned as King of Scotland. So he actually, in his later on life, he actually wrote a book to his son, because his son would assume the kingdomship. And so in that book, he wrote several things. Now, his firstborn son died at the age of 18. So he had a middle daughter, and then his third child actually later became king. So he gave this book to his son, and you can actually read this book. But one of the main themes of this book, in the initial setting of it, a king's duty is first to be a good Christian and a follower of God. So he had some good principles in his life, not to say that he was a perfect king by any means, but he had some good principles in his life that helped him. And he actually had one, at one time, one mentor that had some, you could say, some maybe Baptist heritage there. So he believed that he actually was king of Scotland from 1566 all the way into 1625, and he actually died in 1625 with several health issues. Alongside of that, there was Scotland and then there was England. There was a queen of England at the time. Queen Elizabeth of England died with no heir. And so in 1603, he actually was given kingship over England, which is an amazing thing. Really only something that God could have worked out. The Scottish people were not liked by the English people. The Scottish people were more kind of country people type, but English people were more high society. So he actually, when some interesting things happened with Queen Elizabeth, that she never married, she never had kids. I believe that was set up by God. And so when she actually died, there was no heir. So her firsthand counselor, her right-hand counselor, gave the kingship to King James. So now he's the king of two nations, England and Scotland. Now he actually left Scotland and went be king of England and was king over both at the same time, but from the throne of England. So he had several assassination attempts, as I mentioned earlier, and in 1605, there's a very famous one in Parliament. Somebody actually took a whole bunch of gunpowder and put it in a basement of Parliament. And when he was there, they were planning on blowing up all of Parliament with everybody in it, trying to kill King James. And that was thwarted. The man was arrested, and King James lived through that. That was like in 1605, I think, is when that happened. Yeah, 1605. So a little bit about his actual mental intellect. He was a very intelligent man. He had some tutors that were actually very cruel men that taught him. He'd actually get beatings from his tutors, not as necessarily disciplined, but just get beatings because they were trying to raise him up in very strict ways. Very cruel men that tutored him. But by the age of 8, King James spoke Scots, which is the language of Scotland. He spoke English, he spoke Greek, he spoke Latin, and he spoke French fluently by the age of 8. So we're talking about a very smart man, went through all kind of schooling to get to that point. He was a true scholar and was a talented debater. Even in his teenage years, he would meet in public settings, in town halls, with biblical scholars of the day, and he would debate them publicly. And almost every single time, he'd walk away with people saying, almost as of certainty, King James won the debate. So very, very talented orator. So he would actually be eating food, and while he's eating, he'd have men reading to him as he's eating. He just had a thirst for knowledge. Now, he kind of had a broad scope of things he liked to learn. He read books on kings. There were other Bibles at the time, so he had them read those other Bibles too. But there was not a populist printed English Bible. He even got into reading a lot about witchcraft and demons and vampires and all this stuff. So he actually just had a broad scope of what he'd read about, but just a thirst for knowledge, a true scholar. So in his reign, so he was king of Scotland, And he could have translated a Bible into English when he was King of Scotland, but it would not have been as effective as if he did it when he was King of England. So I believe God did that on purpose, made him King of England, and then had this translation started. So he actually gave a decree, and then they started. There was like 52 men that they first selected. It ended up being 47 men that he had commissioned to translate the Bible into English. There was another Bible there, the Great Bible, that translation had been started. There were some other people that had worked on English translations too, but nothing had been fully compiled into the full Bible. 47 men, and I believe, I was looking for this fact, but I don't remember. I believe that of the least of these men, there was one man that knew 5 languages fluently, but every other man that was of these 47 men knew more than 5 languages fluently. These are the men that helped translate the Bible, 47 men. And they broke it up into different groups, but it's talked about the 47 as if they were the only ones that translated it. He actually had many other people involved. He would get to a certain point in the translation and he would send that translation to other people, to other kings. And he also himself would read it and referring back to the Greek and to the Latin. And he was very involved in the translation himself in getting this translation into English. So he had these 47 men that did that. And we recognize that the King James is 1611, but did you know that wasn't the first publication of the King James Bible? In 1602, King James printed 40 King James Bibles, translations. That's when the first translation came out, was in 1602. We recognize it as 1611 because that's when the final publication was produced. So of these 40, he actually sent out these, and he had people look at them, and it actually went through 7 renditions. And it just so happens that there was actually 7 printings of the King James, the 7th being in 1611, which is an interesting thing, because when you look at that verse we read just a little bit ago, and it says, "The word of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times." I'm not saying that that is an endorsement of the King James right there, but it just really is interesting that that verse is in there, which kind of supports that King James did that. So King James' ultimate goal was to get the English Bible, a full translation, into the hands of the people. So back in that day, the kings would rule, and in Latin, there were leaders that actually had the Bible in Latin, but that copy wasn't given to the people, and most people couldn't even read in their own language, much less read in Latin. So people actually leaders actually used that as a hindrance to the people. They hindered them from reading the Bible, so they didn't know the scriptures. King James wanted to completely bypass that. He says, "I just want a translation in English, so all the people can get it." And then it eventually got to the point where they would actually have what they called pulpit Bibles. Anybody ever heard of a pulpit Bible? It was a big Bible that they would actually chain to the pulpit. That's why they called it pulpit Bibles. It was literally chained and it wasn't supposed to leave there. So the pastor, the preacher, would come to the pulpit and he could actually preach from that Bible, but access was given to the people to come and read scriptures out of this pulpit Bible, because even then, at that point, the Bibles were still pretty expensive, going through printing presses and stuff like that, that the average person couldn't own one, but they would still have access to it. Really interesting. As a big effort of what King James did. And God worked in miraculous ways to get the English Bible to you, which is interesting. God's prepared word for you. There are some people in this world that don't have that. Right. That's not a fault of God. That's a fault of us. We could have the Bible printed in all languages right now if we really wanted. And there are some missionaries that work towards that aspect. We just, in this last mission conference, Brother Cobb was here, and he helps people get to the ministry and trains them in how to translate and do stuff like that, which is a unique ministry and a well-needed ministry. King James was a very interesting man, but like I said at the beginning of his life, his life started with drama and ended with drama. He was not a perfect man. And there's plenty of rocks we can pick up and cast at King James. And there's a lot of people that try and do that. But God didn't necessarily need a perfect man to get his translation in English, because his translation in English was already set before the foundation. So we'll get to that a little bit. But God used King James in a mighty way. And as a result of his efforts, I believe in heaven, he's seeing all these people that are going to approach him and say, King James, thank you. You did something that has changed my life. And there's not a whole lot of people that have that type of influence in the world like King James did. Let's go on further. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, I'll just read that for you real quick. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which dwelleth and abideth forever. So God's word is prepared to save forever. You know, it'd be one thing if we opened up a Heinz or a Gaines mechanics manual to a car, but that book will not last forever. You know, and I can open up this book and I can know that it will last forever. And as a result, that I can trust in it to save me forever. You know, there have been several men that have tried to destroy this word, but they can't. And they won't. No one will ever be able to do that. So we can go to the Bible and we can look at God's word and we can read it. And it specifically tells us about salvation in a way that we can understand, that's simple enough, that everybody can do. And we can trust in God's simple plan of salvation and rest on God's word, knowing that God's word is prepared to save forever. And what a blessing that is, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's incorruptible word produces salvation that is incorruptible. We'll go on further. So we have God's word is prepared to be preserved. God's word is prepared to save forever. We have God's word is prepared for our daily life. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. We can probably all quote this verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I think that's a very interesting way to describe God's word as a lamp. Because we live in a world that is uncertain, right? From day to day, we wake up, we hear the news, and think it's just crazy how fast the news cycle moves. There's something coming out every day. Oh, there's this over here, and we can all die, and there's this over here, and that's going to affect you this way, right? But God in this verse talks about the Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So you know what? It's interesting that when we wake up in the morning, and I hope I'm talking to people that read their Bible this morning. So when you wake up in the morning, did you know that God has his word prepared for you? Like this whole book was prepared for you, right? For you to read. It was prepared for you in a specific way that would speak to your life. But not only that in general, but when you woke up this morning, God had his word prepared for you today. So when you open up your Bible and you read your Bible, do you know what? God had that word prepared for you today. Because his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So that word that God had prepared for you was enough to illuminate your path, to take you forward through today. Because when you're in a dark path and you hold the light up, you don't know what's way out there, right? We don't. It's kind of hard to see. We're talking about a lamp here. So you're holding that lamp, but it's well enough to see where we're going in the immediate, right? And so for today, God has His Word prepared for you. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's Word is prepared for our daily life. So when you wake up tomorrow, open up your Bible and say, Lord, what do you have prepared for me today? And God has something in there today. You might read the Word of God. You might say, what was he talking about there? You read through some of the genealogies and you're like, well, what do I get out of that today? You know, I've lived different aspects of my life, and there's been some times when I followed God with a panting heart, right? Where I'm opening up my Bible and I read and I am enthusiastically trying to find words out of the Bible. But there's been times in my life when I didn't do that. Been times in my life when I open up my Bible and I'm like, all right, let's see, I got somewhere to be. And so I quickly read through the Word of God and I don't get anything through that. I mean, there's also been times in my life when I neglect the Bible completely. But even if I open up the Bible and I read it and I don't get something out of it, I feel different. God does something, even though I might say I didn't get anything out of the Scripture today. God still uses that because God has His Word prepared for us today. And it's a blessing that God can do that. Just in reading the Word of God, God does something to you. Now, there's all kind of different Bible schedules you can have. And I recommend that somebody would at least read 3 chapters a day. If you read 3 chapters a day through the Bible, you'll read through it in a year, right? But I don't necessarily, my goal was not to read 3 chapters of the Bible. My goal is to read until God speaks to my heart. Now, God's always speaking. And it's maybe not necessarily that God speaks to my heart. Is that when I grasp what God is trying to say. And what a blessing it is when you read the Bible. And then you're going throughout your day. And something happens and you're like, you knew. You knew I needed that verse today. And God had that prepared for you. And you might even say, well, I read that last week. It was interesting. Just a few weeks ago, I was reading through Revelation, and I come to books in Revelation. It talks about, and they open up this book, and the book of life, and the Lamb's book of life, and the books were open, and I was like, that's kind of interesting that there's a distinction in between the books, and I was like, Lord, that's really interesting. And then you know what happened right after that? Our pastor preached the message on the books in heaven. It's like, wow, that's pretty interesting. You know, God had all that worked out, and He prepared for that. And He even, in my Bible reading, prepared me for that message. And in pastor's Bible reading, He prepared that message for me. That was really interesting. God's Word is prepared for our daily life. So we have God's Word is prepared to be preserved. God's Word is prepared to save forever. God's Word is prepared for our daily life. We have Psalms 119, verse 9. I'll just read that verse for you. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. God's Word is prepared to cleanse. Now we in our lives, we're human, and whenever we deal with anybody, we always have to keep in mind that everybody's just human, right? Man at best is still man at best. But God's Word is designed in a way that will take us from the corrupt, diseased, sinful man and cleanse us, right? Not to say that we'll get perfect. Paul says, I press towards the mark. He never reached it. But he was always working, and he would go through the Bible and what he had and read, and actually even what he wrote, and he would cleanse his life from sin, from evil. Sometimes people look at the Bible, they say, I don't like reading the Bible because it's always telling me about something I'm doing wrong, and it's just always so negative, right? No, it's not negative. It's a cleansing. You know, and Most of us, I'm sure, in this day and age, we take a bath every day. Why? Because we want to get the dirt out, right? Well, we can take a spiritual bath too and try and get that sin out, that dirt out, right? God's word is prepared for cleansing. And what a blessing that is. I don't read a mechanic's manual. I don't read a doctor's book of instruction and get the cleansing like the Bible has. What other book provides that? Provides a cleansing, right? Not only does it provide a cleansing, it provides a renewal of relationship with God. You can cleanse yourself. You can renew that relationship. You can take it further. You can repent. It gives us all instruction on that and helps us to cleanse our way. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. So we have God's word is prepared to be preserved. God's word is prepared to save forever. God's word is prepared for our daily life. God's word is prepared to cleanse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's word is prepared for us to continue. You know, we don't reach a certain point in our life when we can say we're done, right? You put a cake in the oven at a certain point, you want to pull it out, right? That's not the Christian. I'm still cooking. And I need a whole lot more cooking. I probably need to turn up the heat a little bit too, right? So, but God's word is made for us to continue and to continue. When you read your Bible one more year and you're like, wow, I got this out of the Bible this year. I didn't get that in those previous years. I read that verse several different times and I didn't see that before. But now I see that, and God takes us through a walk of life. And there'll be different situations that pop up in our life, and then we'll say, oh, wow, look at that. The scripture has showed me exactly what to do here. I didn't see that before. God's word is prepared for us to continue. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Those things are already there. They're in Timothy's mind, and he's supposed to continue in them. And it's a sad thing when you see people that they've come to the point of salvation. You can see they've walked with God, but they continue stopped. And it's a sad thing to see that, right? There's no continuation. Sometimes we as Christians, we can sit in that pew where you're sitting at right now, and we think, I'm done. I've reached my max. But Paul told Timothy, he says, continue in the ways which thou hast learned. Why? Why do we continue? Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God's word was prepared in a way for us to continue. Now, there's all kind of debates out there where people say, well, not all of the Word of God is there. Or some things have changed. And we go back to King James, and the amount of precision that was placed into translating the Scriptures, it's crazy. It was not just a man in his mind translating. It was God's divine ability providing a perfect translation for us so that we could continue. That last verse, let's read that again. That the man of God may be perfect. If the man of God is going to go towards that point of being perfect, he would have to read something that is perfect. And God's given it to us. He's given us that perfection. that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we have God's word is prepared to be preserved. God's word is prepared to save forever. God's word is prepared for daily life. God's word is prepared to cleanse. God's word is prepared to continue. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 verse through 19. I'll read that for you. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till it all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God." So we have here God's word is prepared to fulfill. It says to all be fulfilled. There's no other book that has prophecies in it like the Bible that have been fulfilled with 100% accuracy. Right? We can go through the Bible and you can list them all and you can check some of them. The majority of them you can check. There's a few that we haven't got to yet. Almost all of them dealing with the end times. But the reason why we haven't got there yet is because we haven't got to the end times yet, right? But all the ones that have been fulfilled have been fulfilled with 100% accuracy. There's no deviation. And at any certain point, if we were to come to the point where we said, well, look at that prophecy, it wasn't fulfilled exactly, then you know what I could rightfully do? I could rightfully walk away from my Christian religion and say, no, God's not true. But I can't do that. Because I look at the scriptures and I know they're true and they're perfect, right? That's in the scope of history. But what about in your life? Till all be fulfilled. Do you know, every day you wake up, God has something in His Word prepared for you to fulfill. He has a task for you each and every day. Now you might say, well, I'm not going to Africa, all these missionaries, right? I'm not going to fill the pulpit. No, we're not talking about in that depth. We're talking about daily. God has something prepared. He's written in His Word. He's given you commandments, and He wants you to fulfill those for that day. A lot of times, it's interesting to see, and even in college, I went through this. It's like, all right, Lord, what is Your perfect plan for my life? All right? And we want to know the specific. We're not looking for the little minute details in fulfilling God's will. We're looking for that specific thing where we can stand and say, all right, I know that God's called, one of these missionaries to Madagascar, the angel family to Madagascar. That's a specific calling. A lot of us, we drive for and specifically pursue. And sometimes we're in anguish because we don't know what that answer is, right? But do you know that today God has a will for you and He wants you to fulfill it? And He's given us His word to instruct us in that way. Each and every day, God's given us that. And we should open up our Bible and we should look at it and say, all right, Lord, what's the task for today? And in some cases, that may be something we need to work on in our individual life. Some cases, it may be that God gives us scripture to give to somebody else. Some cases, that may be God has a specific thing that He's wanting you to go do. And He's going to use His word to instruct you in doing that, right? So God's word is prepared to be fulfilled. So it is interesting when you look at the Word of God. There's been several people that have said, I want to destroy the Word of God. Several people have decided to do that. And even in you look at King James, there's so much more I could have mentioned about King James. There's books and books you can write about him. Even he, as a kid, I believe Satan was trying to kill him. Because I believe that Satan maybe had some foreknowledge, maybe that he was going to be the translator of the Bible. But you just look at the miraculous things that happen in King James' life, interesting life. But even in that, God fulfilled His word. And He brought it to the point that it could not be destroyed. It got distributed so widely. And now it is impossible to destroy this book. Best-selling book in the world ever is the King James Bible. Now, there are some other translations, perversions of the scripture that are becoming popular, and there's a lot of prints out there. But do you know what they use for their basis, for their translation, the King James? So, people have tried to destroy. There's one man, I forget his name. His goal was to destroy the Word of God. And what ended up happening, he ended up dying. His will didn't happen, but a church bought his house, started printing Bibles in his house. God has a sense of humor. His Word can't be destroyed. But God's Word will be fulfilled. You can read it and rest assured that, hey, this is what's going to happen. And what's a wonderful thing to do is to read Revelation and to get to that last word, amen. And at that point, we'll be spending eternity with God forever. Right? What a wonderful day that will be. Last passage of Scripture I'll read. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the word of God existed. And then from the existing word of God, the Bible says the worlds were framed. So the Word of God existed, and then the worlds were framed from the Word of God. And we take that to today. When I woke up this morning and I read my Bible, before the worlds were framed, God knew exactly the scriptures that I would read this morning. They were prepared all the way back then. God knew that today was the day I would read that. And he knew that today was the day you would come to church and you would hear this sermon. And he had that prepared too. Before the world was created, all this was planned out and prepared for you today. What kind of miraculous planning God had in doing that, right? That he planned that out in such detail. But even though in God's planning, I'm still Brandon Brocke, right? And I know in my Christian walk, I am not where God wanted me to be, right? But in God's planning, God knew that. And we still get to the amen at the end, even though Brandon Brocke screws stuff up. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? God's planning in the Word of God leads us, it still leads us there. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his promise, right? God can have that verse stand true even though Brandon Brocke existed. And even these cars driving by, God, that's still in God's plan, right? You might see over there, they're lost, people dying, going out, true. When we get to the end, though, we're going to look back and look at what the Word of God is, where we are then, and we're going to know God's Word was true. And before the foundation of the world, God had all that planned out. What a wonderful God we serve, right? And beyond serving a wonderful God, he's given us his Word that we could read and we could understand, and we can know, and we could develop a relationship with it. You know, this Bible I've had since I've been in Bible college, and it's falling apart. So the ribs here were in the back, and they slid over, and you know, there's pages that are ripped. My kids get a hold of it. And I've spilled coffee and been eating food, and so there's some food stains in there too. But I've developed a relationship with this book, and I'm thinking, I'd like to replace it. I'd like to get a new Bible, but then I don't. Because I can open up my Bible, and I can, some cases, just almost turn to the chapter. Because I've developed a relationship with my Bible. And I want to encourage you to do that. You can get your phone out and you can read the same words. But it's something about having that relationship with God. And sometimes just having your own personal copy. I have notes in here. I've preached sermons out of here. I've cried, I've repented, I've cleansed, I've fulfilled the word of God. I've led people to Christ out of this book. Because God's word was prepared. And you know, these pages right here, God had prepared. It started as a tree. God prepared that these papers would end up in my hand, and that this book would be an influence in my life the way it is. I'm talking about the physical book. God had all that planned out. So what is the word of God to you? It's prepared for you. It's prepared for you today. What are we going to do with the word of God? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, say, we do thank you so much for